Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.
Welcome to True Crime to Go. What can I get for you?
Yeah, give me a large order of trashy reality TV with a side of antifreeze, please.
Pull up to the second window and we'll see you next crime.
Welcome to True Crime to Go. I am John, here with Jamie. Good to have you back in the booth, sir.
I have not listened last week. How did the intros go for True Crime to Go last week?
I missed doing the intros, so okay. I pitched the idea to you that I write one a week just so I can have a little fun with the intro.
It is a good time. And this, of course, there's a crime here. Somebody gets hurt, but an interesting story nonetheless. This comes recommended from my wife, because she watches 1,000-Pound Sisters, which is a reality show about two overweight siblings that live in Kentucky.
Can I just say
their battles with weight loss and grammar?
When I think of your wife, I think of like a prim and proper, not like a debutante, but like someone who doesn't have time for shenanigans. So to hear that she watches smut TV like brings her back home to reality.
I can handle 1,000-Pound Sisters. I draw the line at Love is Blind. Love is Blind. It's terrible.
I've heard people talk about it, and it sounds like, don't they actually get married at the end of the show?
I think
like,
so. Yeah, it's terrible.
And it's a legit wedding.
It's awful. Like, but this show, so it's these two sisters, Tammy and Amy. Just a few months ago, there was another incident with this group. Amy was in, was at a petting zoo in East Tennessee and got bit by a camel. And when she called authorities to make a report, they came to her car and found drugs and arrested her.
Dang.
So lots of drama around this show. But today's case is...
But you said they were at a petting zoo. I was like, wow, we're going to pet them now?
No, dang. It's a two-way petting zoo. It's what Jim said on The Office. You pet the animals, they pet you back.
Oh, God. All right. Well, who gets bit by a camel? Let's dive into this one. And as a matter of fact, why don't you get the ball rolling?
Yeah, this goes back into their family. This isn't necessarily a crime that we saw on the show, but this is a story of Charles H. Ellis, a man whose life came to a chilling end in the 1980s and was killed by somebody who was close to him. He was killed by his own son, Charles T. Ellis. This case obviously has layers of betrayal. There's greed, and there's a lot of awful stuff behind this.
So this story has resurfaced recently because of its connection to a popular reality TV star, which is Amy Halterman from the 1,000-Pound Sisters. Amy revealed in a teaser clip that her grandfather, Charles H. Ellis, was the victim of this horrific crime. She even mentioned this case, and it was detailed in Harry Spiller's true crime book, Murder in the Heartland, Book 2.
So let's set the stage for this. November 1986, a seemingly ordinary small-town community where crimes, really violent crime, is kind of rare and you don't expect it. Charles H. Ellis, the father, was a man who trusted his family. Little did he know somebody had him in their sights.
So according to Spiller's book, the elder Charles was poisoned with ethylene glycol, which is a substance commonly found in, like you said, antifreeze. The symptoms of the poisoning are insidious, and at first, his death might have seemed like a tragic accident, but investigators quickly realized that there was more to this story.
Before his death, Charles started experiencing acute renal failure. Now, the ethylene glycol, which he was given actual antifreeze, but that's the agent inside it that led to this, causes the kidneys to shut down, which leads to a painful and fatal condition. John, it's horrifying to think about. When we often talk about murders, it's usually violence, and I don't know, there's some bit of relief when the death is quick, but this type of murder takes days to kill somebody, and it's very, very painful. And he found out that it was his son, who is Amy Halterman's uncle, that was responsible for this.
The method was just as cold and as calculated as the motive. So according to reports, the younger Charles laced a pitcher of iced tea with antifreeze. Family members would later recall that the tea had a very strange, foul taste, But the most damning evidence came when Charles Ellis, the younger, admitted to bringing the tea to the state attorney for analysis before disposing of it. And we think now that that was a move that investigators now saw as a clear attempt to have control over the narrative. Like, if I'm bringing this in, then it wasn't me.
Yeah, I'm innocent. I didn't know that this had anything in it. And I have to assume this is sweet tea, by the way. The motive behind the murder was pretty greedy. Charles T., again, the younger Ellis, wasn't just looking to kill his father, but he was after money. Spiller's investigation, he has several of those Murder in the Heartland books that are filled with interesting stories. But in his book, he revealed that young Charles forged his father's name on loans and cashed in on a disability life insurance policy after his death. So he's looking to get rich off of this murder.
But Charles didn't cover his tracks very well, of course. When questioned by investigators just days after his father's death, they noticed something kind of odd. He had 7 or 8 small cuts on his arms, and these were cuts that he later claimed were related to cult rituals.
And if you remember, this is late 80s. This is probably right before the Satanic Panic, but maybe in the beginnings of it. So anytime you mentioned occult rituals, cutting, self-harm in this way, it was it got attention for sure. And then there were discrepancies in his story. They caught him in lie after lie. He was kind of up and down in his behavior. Nothing he said added up. So it was pretty clear pretty quickly that Charles T. Ellis knew what had happened and probably had something to do with it. The last red flag was when he said there should not be an autopsy.
Yeah, and the case finally reached a turning point when Charles was given a polygraph test. And I know you don't love these tests, but this one worked out because during the test, he admitted that he had lost all willpower. And eventually he confessed to poisoning his father. That's the way to do a polygraph test.
That is. That's really rare that somebody confesses during a polygraph test. What if you confess and it says you're lying? What does that do?
Wow, that's funny. I've never thought of that.
Yeah, I bet they
next
say...
Next season on Left on Dead.
I bet they say that it was truthful. In January of 87, Charles pled guilty to the murder of his father. He was sentenced to 20 to 40 years in prison. But even with that justice served, the family was left to grapple with the shocking betrayal of what happened in their family. All families have secrets, but when those secrets result in death, that's when your stomach starts to turn because of it.
Amy Halterman's recent comments have brought this dark chapter back into the spotlight. She casually mentioned the crime in a clip from her show, saying that her uncle fed her grandfather antifreeze. And it's clear that this family has a history and it still lingers in the background of their lives. I mean, like you said, we all have interesting families, I'm sure. But as far as I know, no one has poisoned each other. But maybe I'm just not aware of it yet.
Yeah, you may be right. And it's fascinating to find these things out about your family and to look back on them and how it may have impacted your family long term. We get cases from all different places. Somebody asked me the other day, where do you come up with your material? And it's literally everywhere. But I think my wife watching reality TV is a new one.
Well, you know, have her just make some notes, mental notes, if she hears another crime mentioned on, you know, Love is Blind or whatever.
Usually she makes notes by saying them out loud and expecting I remember them. So
there it is.
It's not very strong.
Queen Angie.
That's not a strong tactic there. I don't have a great memory, but I did find this interesting enough to bring up. And maybe once more details come out, we can talk about that big camel bite.
Yeah, that one really threw me. I wasn't expecting
that. There you go. This has been a crime story in 10 minutes or less.
Would you like crime with that?
You've listened to True Crime Cast, distributed by Stoveleg Media. Check out Stoveleg.com to find out more about your hosts and to find other podcasts to listen to. Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.